Ja, da vi omsider tilbake for Radio Fri, sending nummer to.
Det har vært litt pause her. Det har vært mye å gjøre siste tida, så vi har ikke helt klart å holde skjema på én sending i uka, men nå tror jeg vi skal slenge i gang nummer to, ja.
Ja, nå gir du sånne der falske forhåpninger, da. Det blir greie, det blir ikke en uke, vet du. Men det blir så ofte vi greier.
Det blir så ofte vi greier, det blir det skal i hvert fall bli en gang.
Ja, noe av emnet vi skal ta opp i dag, eller hovedemnet i dag blir vel helse og velvære.
Kos.
Ja, det,
det er jo viktig å være frisk.
Viktig å være frisk, så vi tenkte at vi skulle kjøre i gang en liten sending da, med forskjellige informasjoner her. Lurt.
Hør på dette.
Selv?
Nei, det kjøpt. Det kjøpt. Den siste bærplukkeren.
Det finnes en bærplukker igjen, og det burde egentlig finnes flere. For det i skogen helsa ligger. Er ikke det?
Jo, det det. Og ut naturen, forskjellige vekster.
Helse ligger ikke inne på laboratoriene. Ligger ute i skreven.
Nå er vi dritt lei å se alle disse mekkernspisende idiotene som driver landet i grøfta. Så fjortiser med klørebart og mobilen tredd opp i ræva. Nå klarer ikke snart det der sarte sinnet litt mer. Nå må vi skjerpe oss alle, så vi bidrar yrkerekten.
Det veldig bra. Så jeg har en... Eller, det vi promoterer her da, på Radio Fri er... økologisk mat i stor grad. Er ikke det?
Det lov med en fest i en gang iblant.
Ja, nei, det
må ikke. Å spise, man må ikke bli helt ødelagt heller, men det viktig å ha litt fokus på det.
Spis sunn og bli positiv og glad. Det jævlig enkelt.
Ja, det det. Da bare
hører
du en ny låt?
Ja, vi bare hører litt på denne låta her. Det du hører i bakgrunnen faktisk den hvite bjørka, The White Birch, med låta Beauty King.
Og nå kommer Moano Furo.
Moano Furo, et band fra New Zealand. En gruppe kanskje.
Lite intervju her nå på lager til alle som lytter. Dere to som sitter hjemme så følger spent med.
Verdens lyttere av radiofri.com. Følg med på dette intervjuet. Her det viktige greier som skal bli sagt.
Om helse og alt du trenger å vite for å leve et sunt og godt liv.
Og det noe vi kjemper for. At du skal leve et sunt og godt liv. Da blir vi glad.
Alle blir glade.
Meg og Øyvind blir glad. Hør på dette her.
Doctors are not trained in health. They're trained in illness, and they are therefore part of the illness industry. And they are not only destroying our economy, they are killing our population, most of them unwittingly. So when I look at health, I look at clean, unadulterated food, and I look at nutrients, vitamins, minerals in supply to allow people to develop abundant health. And the more toxic our world is, the higher the doses of the nutrients that we need. Codex, which is run by and which serves the purposes of the five big elements in our world, that's big pharma, big chema, big agribiz, big biotechna, and big medica. Codex would like to have healthy people disappear because they're bad customers, and to be able to do anything it wants to the food supply and take away nutrients domestically and internationally. Codex Alimentarius came out of the fertile mind of a convicted Nazi war criminal. Fritz Termeer was sitting in jail, and he said, well, that didn't work. What do we do next? And he said, I've got it. We'll take over the world's food supply. So when he got out 4 years later in 1952 and went back to work as at the president level of Bayer Pharmaceutical, which had been part of IG Farben, the same people who make Bayer aspirin, of course, he went to his friends at the UN and he said, hey, I've got a cool idea. We can take over the world's food supply. So we were saying that the Codex Alimentarius Commission was founded in 1963 and, in 62 and began work in 63, and it was pretty irrelevant. Nobody was paying any attention to it because everything that it was setting up, all the standards, guidelines, and regulations were voluntary and therefore irrelevant until 1994. That's the year when Codex acquired Teeth. The teeth are the trade sanctions that the World Trade Organization can impose if a country is found through its dispute resolution process to be setting up, quote, a barrier to trade. Now, what that means is that since the World Trade Organization accepted Codex as a standard for dispute resolution around food, and notice I said a standard, not the standard. That turns out to be immensely important to your survival and to the survival of your children and loved ones. So Codex was accepted as a standard for the dispute resolution process around food by the World Trade Organization. And at that point, Codex became relevant. And Codex noticed how relevant it became and started telling countries around the world that in order to protect themselves from the World Trade Organization sanctions, which are so big that they can sell the economy of even the biggest country, let alone the vulnerable economies of countries like Ethiopia and Peru, that they had to adopt the Codex standards not only for international trade, which is what Codex governs, but also for their own domestic laws. In other words, every country in the world has been told that because Codex is a good thing, because it prevents the World Trade Organization sanctions from being imposed, and because it is science-based, remember that phrase, science-based, that every country in the world needs to adopt all of the Codex regulations, standards, and guidelines.
And the World Trade Organization, admittedly, it now has more authority over our trade than Congress.
Exactly. And so if every country in the world fears those billion, 2 billion, 5 billion, half a billion trade sanctions, they're going to run to protect their economies and let the devil take the hindermost. Well, it turns out that since 1994, every single codex decision, and I want to tell you that there are standards on the production of frog's legs, apricot preserves, meat products, sardines, milk, everything that can legally go into your mouth, dietary supplements included, but drugs excluded. Codex governs everything that can legally go into your mouth with the exception of drugs. Since then, every single one of the standards, guidelines, and regulations promulgated by Codex that I have read, and I have read thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pages of this horror before my husband and I closed our practice of natural medicine in order to take this on, every single one of those decisions has been based on what is good for the five bigs, big pharma, big biotechna, big chema, big agribiz, and big medica. They are not based on health. They are not based on consumer protection. For instance, Codex has already determined that all food must be irradiated. All animals used for the production of food must be treated with antibiotics. All animals used for the production of food must be treated with growth hormones.
And must be tagged, too. This is all part of phasing out
must
the small farms.
Must be tagged. And the next thing that happens, of course, is that people get tagged. Organic standards have been horribly degraded. And since the food has to be irradiated before it can be shipped internationally, what's organic about it anyway? Now, nutrients. A lot of people who have heard of Codex, and because of the blackout in the major media, that's not a lot of people.
from Degenlecken. Rammstein.
Ja, det var det. Hvis det var noen som lurte på det.
Tror de fleste fikk med seg det. Jeg tror de fleste fikk med seg det.
Kan en av han burgerspisende idioten på Bakerstrand ikke fikk med seg. Men resten gikk klar.
Yes, vi fortsetter litt med intervjuet som vi hørte på tidligere.
Food is being used as a weapon. Healthy people can think and have the energy and vitality to raise their voices and, if necessary, their fists and say, no, I don't think so. People who are not fluoridated into willing compliance can say, no, I don't think so, and take the necessary steps to enforce that that resistance. Fluoridation was introduced into the Soviet gulags because it made prisoners compliant. It was introduced into the water supply of the Nazi concentration camps because it made prisoners compliant.
And that's even in mainstream. That's even in mainstream history books.
Absolutely, this is not fought over and questioned. Fluoridation was introduced into the United States water supply through junk science, the same kind of junk science that Codex relies upon to convince countries to do terrible things to their population's health. Fluoride was introduced in order to do two things. One was provide a very economical disposal system for wildly toxic fluoride salts, which would otherwise be very expensive to dispose of in line with the OSHA requirements for toxic disposal. And two, to provide, shall we say, complicit, docile people. It does not prevent tooth decay. It does not prevent osteoporosis. Quite the contrary. It's a systemic poison, and if you're drinking fluoridated water, then either you're uninformed, which you have something that you can do about.
Well, Nobel Prize winners, medical doctors have gone public and say it causes all sorts of serious health problems. I go to the Babies USA store, and it's fluoride for your children, fluoridated water. Give this to your children. Your child needs this type of fluoride. We've gone from the smartest country, most educated, and richest country to now major studies show over 2/3 of young people, 18 to 24, and in some cases even higher than that, can't find Iraq. Can't find India. We've gone from being the smartest to the dumbest. Doctor, do you believe that's directly linked, not just to the educational standards, but also to the fluoridation?
I believe it's partly the fluoridation. It's partly the wild, insane drugging of our children with deadly and neurologically damaging, permanently neurologically damaging drugs for make-believe diagnosis. It's partly due to the hydrogenated fats, which make the cell membranes of the nervous system rigid instead of flexible, so your brain doesn't work. It's due to the degraded food supply with artificial colors, flavors, and preservatives, which are all toxins. It's due in large measure to the neurotoxic effects of the pesticides that and herbicides, the mercury and so on, that are part of our food supply and unfortunately part of our teeth. So we have a poisoned population. No wonder they can't think. And there is a war against health, just as there is a war against our children. It involves vaccination. It involves degraded food. It involves many, many, many aspects, including fluoridation. Unfortunately, it's not a war on a single front. What I believe is that sick people are profitable. Let's start with that. Healthy people are bad customers for the pharmaceutical industry and for the medical industry. So we start with that. Then we come to what the World Health Organization former chairperson and what many people in the high echelons of world organizations that control the economies of the planet have said, and that includes the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the United Nations itself, and so on, Henry Kissinger, they have talked about the need for population reduction. The route that we're heading with Codex, with the over-medication, and you know pharmaceutical medications are the leading cause of death in this country.
Yes.
With the toxification of our environment and the toxification of everything we put into our mouth unless it's organic and the degradation of the organic standards, if you're not very careful, you become part of the herd that's on the route to extinction.
What?
Well, I'm a physician. I've been practicing drug-free natural medicine for better than 35 years. I was graduated from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine with an MD degree in 1970. I was trained in psychiatry, child, adolescent, and adult psychiatry. And throughout my entire career, I have been asking non-allopathic, non-conventional medicine questions that all have a similar thrust. The thrust is about why, whereas allopathic medicine only looks at how. How do we suppress this symptom? How do we make this problem go away? I've been asking, why does the problem occur? And then, what's the best way to fix the problem at the causal level?
So you're trying to fix the cause instead of treating the symptoms.
Precisely. And the best way is never, in my estimation, if you're not dealing with acute or traumatic situations, the best way is never to poison enzyme systems.
Well,
and that's what every drug does.
Hva hørte vi der?
Det var jo Deftones med Maynard fra Tool.
Vår gode venn Maynard.
Og nå må vi gå over til en annen viktig ting som egentlig folk det er mange folk som ikke tenker på det egentlig. Den kunstige søtningsstoffet, vet du.
Du tenker på den E951?
Stemmer. Aspartam, som det også heter på godt norsk.
Ja, den ikke så sunn. Var det ikke han Donald Rumsfeld som sørget for å få den på markedet?
Jo, han Donald Rumsfeld har bidratt i negativ retning stort sett.
Heldig, ja.
Grei kar han der. Hør litt på dette her nå.
Rodney brought up a good point about aspartame, and it's on the record that Rumsfeld's behind everything. Nuclear reactors in North Korea, weapons to Saddam, aspartame, just on and on. If it's evil, he's been on the board of Monsanto, genetic engineering, Terminator gene. Talk about a dark magician. He's definitely one. You can look at him, folks. He radiates evil.
Of which I never was a part.
hørte vi låta
Colossal
med bandet
Wolfmother.
Og den var fin.
Det var den. Den var fin.
Likte den vi? Vi fortsetter litt med den greia vi på. Skal høre litt mer radiointervju.
Litt mer info om det her kvinnelige som kommer dere inn i kroppen deres hele tiden. Nei, stopp.
Søtt og godt er det faktisk. Deilig da. E-stoffer og søtningsstoffer spesielt. Hør på dette.
But here's something a lot of people don't know. First of all, Don Rumsfeld was CEO of Cyril. And he said, I'm going to call in my markers and get it approved anyway. Now, understand, anything I tell you is a matter of public record. This is in the congressional record. This is in the UPI investigation on doorway.com. And so he was on Reagan's transition team. And the day after Reagan took office, he appointed Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes to approve it because no other FDA commissioner would approve it. However, here's what the public doesn't know. Reagan was so concerned that it would take 30 days to get in order to get Hayes to the FDA that he wrote an executive order making the current FDA commissioner powerless to do anything until Hayes got there. And when Hayes got there, the Board of Inquiry met and revoked the petition for approval based on the fact that it causes brain tumors and was never proven safe. Dr. Hayes then overruled the Board of Inquiry, then went to work with the PR manufacturer and of the manufacturer and has refused to talk to the press ever since. That is how aspartame got on the market. Well, what it was a 52-week oral toxicity study done on 7 infant monkeys. 5 had grand mal seizures and 1 died. Now, here's something very interesting, and they used that as a pivotal study in the approval, no less. In other words, and now, even on the FDA report, which you'll see on Doorway, it has 4 types of seizures.
Yeah, they spin it and say, look, 1 monkey lived, huh?
Yeah, you know who the monkey is now. Okay, now about the brain tumors, and here's something interesting that if you go on Doorway, you could read the Breslau report, and this is the FDA audit of all the shenanigans going on. And of course, you can't take a poison and make it show safety. So what they were doing is, as the rats developed brain tumors, they would excise the brain tumors, they would put the rats back in the study, then the rats would die, and they would resurrect them on paper. So that's Jerome Bressler is the one who wrote the report. So when he retired from the FDA, I called him and I said, Jerome, I want to thank you for being truthful and getting this information to the public so nobody can ever say that aspartame was proven safe. And he said, Betty, it's a lot worse than you ever knew. He said, if the studies were so bad that when the FDA retyped the report that they eliminated the worst 20%. He said, you need to get them to not only give you that, but 2 mice studies and a cover letter. And so I told that to Dr. Russell Blaylock and Dr. H.J. Roberts, who both called Jerome Bressler. And then Dr. Roberts wrote his congressman to get this information, and the FDA wrote back and said, it's confidential, which is exactly what we would expect. Well, it's supposed to have a PKU warning on it, but many times when you see artificial and natural flavors on processed foods, they can have MSG in there, and they can have the components of aspartame, and they can't have aspartame in it. And you may have heard about this new regulation, we call it the mystery milk, where the FDA now has allowed any kind of milk without labeling, even if it's from buffalo. Well, the interesting thing about this is that regulation, it means if there's not a lot of aspartame, they may not even label it at all. There's a question about this new rule. And there's something else that the people need to know. When you mention addiction, they wonder, well, why do people get addicted?
this product liberates free methyl alcohol, and it causes chronic methanol poisoning, which affects the dopamine part of the brain, system of the brain, and that causes the addiction. And this is why all our kids are addicted. I mean, it's just people can't get off of it. We've got a woman in Chicago who they told her, look, you know, if you'll get off aspartame, maybe we can save your foot. She says, I'm too addicted. Chop it off. She's diabetic, and aspartame can precipitate diabetes and interacts with insulin. So you can see the problem that when people are, and we have a aspartame information list, and these people that are on there, they go through the most horrible withdrawal symptoms trying to get them off of the aspartame. We're up to date about what's going on. Many years ago, and I can read this directly from the congressional record. Now, this is FDA toxicologist Dr. Adrian Gross testifying before Congress, and he says, quote, in view of all these indications that the cancer-causing potential of aspartame is a matter that had been established way beyond any reasonable doubt, one can ask, what's the reason for the apparent refusal by the FDA to invoke for this food additive the so-called Delaney Amendment to the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act? Is it not clear beyond any shadow of a doubt that aspartame has caused brain tumors or brain cancer in animals? Released in July of this year was the impeccable Ramazzini study from Italy. Now, they knew that when Searle did studies, you know, they'd cut them off after 2 years, and rats don't even usually develop brain tumors until like 1.5 years. So in the Ramazzini study, they let the rats live 3 years to live out their lifetime so they could really tell. What they found was that aspartame causes leukemia, lymphoma, cancer of the kidneys, cancer of the cranial peripheral nerves, and only the rats that were fed aspartame developed malignant brain tumors.
Now, by the way, all of the cancers you just listed are way up in humans.
Absolutely, emphatically. In fact, they had a conference in September and announced that aspartame is a multi-potential carcinogen. And in fact, right now, only in New York and New Jersey, we are taking aspartame brain tumor cases for litigation so we can try and get it off the market. But when this happened and during this announcement, a member of Congress by the name of Roger Williams immediately asked that aspartame be banned in the UK. And then there's a Mission Possible, Falkland Islands, Robin Goodwin, petitioned the Falkland Islands to ban it there. He has a daughter who for 18 years used it and had seizures every day of her life. And when he found out and got her off of it, the seizures stopped. His wife had a brain tumor, and he was so emphatic about it that he sat down and wrote a letter to every single person living in the Falkland Islands. In the meantime, Stephen Fox in New Mexico petitioned to ban aspartame by the Environmental Improvement Board, and then he petitioned the Board of Pharmacy. Keep in mind, aspartame damages what is called the mitochondria of the cell. That's the life of the cells. Yeah, so it interacts with all drugs and vaccines. That means nothing is safe on the market today as long as aspartame is on there.
Now, the sick thing is you go to the store and you see baby formula that it says with aspartame, Pedialyte. You see it in the pills. You see it in medicines. I mean, it's in TV dinners. It's in literally thousands and thousands of things out there today.
I know. One of the things that just literally infuriates me is, for instance, aspartame can precipitate Parkinson's. And you remember Michael Fox was a Diet Pepsi spokesman, and he said, you know, how can I get Parkinson's at the age of 30 when it's an old man's disease?
Well, it's like one of the guys on that show, Frasier, is young and has gotten a bunch of that Now they're saying that there is the young onset of Alzheimer's now. Ooh, is now affecting Americans.
Well, aspartame knows no age. That's why on the front page of Time magazine that they had 1 million children with bipolar. Now, that's interesting since children don't get bipolar, and it's a disease that people can get in the late 20s or maybe the early 30s. But what I'm saying is that, in fact, this is how I found out about aspartame, is somebody who was diagnosed with Parkinson, and he appeared to be dying. And you just don't get diagnosed one day and appear to be dying the next. And you couldn't get near him because his arms and legs would kick out like Michael Fox. That's when I met Dr. Roberts, and I said, because I asked him, was he on NutraSweet? And he said, yes. And he said, it interacts with L-DOPA. He's probably drinking a Diet Coke and taking L-DOPA.
I want to sell my soul. Poof, you know, black cloud poofs, and it's Rumsfeld's little horns. He's there. I mean, this guy is involved in selling the chemical and bios to Saddam. I mean, it's just he's involved in every evil you can imagine.
I know. Well, as far as aspartame is concerned, this is what is so tragic. There's 50% phenylalanine in it, and which becomes neurotoxic as an isolate. But in the case of aspartame, it's 50% of the molecule. It really floods the brain, and then it lowers the seizure threshold. And so it depletes serotonin. And when you lower serotonin, you're talking about it triggering bipolar mood swings like President Bush has. He's addicted to it. And hallucinations and paranoia. And then they go and give you something like Prozac. Any of these psychodrugs, understand, aspartame is a psychodrug. And so when you give them any of these antidepressants, you make zombies out of them anytime because they interact. It damages DNA. You can destroy humanity with aspartame. When you say children killing children, you have to consider aspartame.
Broken, I'm a suicide.
Kan ikke jeg si godnatt da?
Du kan si så godt.
Det var
The Mars Volta. The Mars Volta.
God natt.
Så godt.